Okay, the results of the questionnaires are in. Those of you that filled them out. Those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, it's fine. I asked, why did you sign up for the course? The number one answer was, want to learn more about spiritual disciplines. Okay, that's good. One person said, kickstart to apply spiritual disciplines. I thought, okay, that's good. Motivated. How are you doing in your practice of spiritual disciplines? The top answer was, occasionally. So that's okay. We've got room to move. If you had put frequently, which some of you did, it's like maybe a little less room to move there. What spiritual disciplines are you interested in learning more about? I thought this was interesting. Bible study was second to solitude. Silence was equal to Bible study. And then prayer and fasting. Usually fasting is the lowest one. So that kind of, no surprise there. So I'm going to have to really concentrate on that one. Does anybody, you remember your assignment last week? Does anybody have anything to report in? Encountering God or trying to apply something, or maybe you have purpose to do something in relationship to spiritual disciplines you can share? Yes.
Well, I purpose to do better, wake up in the morning and pray.
Okay, good.
And so the Lord helped me do that much because it's a challenge for me.
Really? Isn't he kind? Good.
Everything went well.
Good. So it's been a good week. Okay. Now, we need to remember, we're going to ask Lisa next week how it's going. That's great. He is pleased in our leanings, our shuffling. So, anyway, that's great, Lisa. Anybody else? Anybody come away with... Yes?
I actually experienced God when the pastor was talking about relationships.
Good.
Just last night, I had this huge discussion, argument, debate about the purpose of friendships. About relationships.
Okay.
About relationships and the purpose of having friends, like true friends. And
real friends.
Right. And the very thing, my argument last night was, it takes work. The argument says, no, it should be easy. And when I came here today, that was the very thing, the very topic the pastor was talking about, was relationships. And he said, it's important. So like, I was just sitting there, like, in awe. Because that was, like, for me, that's not, for
right.
others to do, but just to hear that was the very thing that I was dealing with just later.
God does that, and when we hear the same thing from different people several times, it's like, okay, need to pay attention. And we talked last week, just in spiritual disciplines, and there's work, there's effort, there's sweat. I appreciated that. It takes intentionality and purpose. So all of these things that God calls us to do, but He gives us grace to do it. Well, why don't we get started? I'm going to pray in just a second, but I wanted to read this, kind of set the tone for our time together. We're going to be talking about studying God's Word. This is the most challenging week because it's three chapters out of Whitney's book. So it's going to feel like that. So hopefully you can take away some practical things. And again, this is a wonderful opportunity. We talked about the disciplines, certainly studying God's Word. It's going to be a means of grace and a venue for encountering God. I mean, it's just, and so all the things we'll be talking about, meditation, memorizing scripture, all of that positions us. So it's going to seem like a lot of information, and it is, but just try and distill it and use what you can from it. let me read this. But while the Spirit of God is the author of sanctification, there is a visible agency employed which must not be forgotten. Sanctify them, said Jesus, by the truth. Your word is truth. The Spirit of God brings to our minds the precepts and doctrines of truth and applies them with power. These are heard in the ear and being received in the heart. They work in us to will and to do of God's good pleasure. We talked about that. God you know, we have our part to play, and then God is at work within us. The truth is the sanctifier, and if we do not hear or read the truth, we shall not grow in sanctification. We only progress in sound living as we progress in sound understanding. Hold fast to the truth, for by so holding the truth shall you be sanctified by the Spirit of God. Mr. Spurgeon, let's pray. Father God, again, we thank you for this time that we can gather together and gather around your word and talk about studying your word, being students, studying your word diligently, being workmen, laboring in this field of your word. And I pray tonight, God, we have a lot of material to cover, and I pray that you would help me in just communicating to my brothers and sisters those things that you think are important. There's a lot of material, and help us focus on those things and bring to individuals' attention, God, in specific ways that only you can do, what they need to hear or what they need to come away from this time together, God, and use this in all our lives, God, to stir our hearts to want to be better students of your word and better students of you as we spend time in your word. God, our desire is to encounter you, not just to read and to learn about you, but to meet you and encounter you in new and fresh ways. So we ask that and pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. If those of you that weren't here last week, this is the main book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, Whitney. And the three chapters that we're covering tonight are in here. And Whitney says that he believes the study of God's word is the most important discipline. What do you think? You agree with that or not? Why?
Because God
is
the
word made
flesh.
Okay, that's good.
So, let's begin by talking about grace.
When we learn his word, we are, I feel like we're talking to him and he's talking to us, and that's how the relationship is.
Right. And many of the other things we're talking about really sort of, that's the foundation, and things spring forth out of that. So I think, you know, it's a point well made. So why do we study the Bible? Got down there, the first thing is that, kind of like what Lisa said, this is God's story, and this is the story of redemption, and it's a wonderful story, and we get to be players and participants in that, and so we want to study about that. We want to know God's story from Genesis to Revelation and how he speaks in history. And we talked last week, the word is living and active. It's dynamic, and so no matter how many times you read it, and we'll talk about that, I mean, I'm just amazed. You know, 30 years later, I'll be reading something. It's like, I don't ever remember reading that in there. Where did this come from? And I don't know how many times I've read a particular book. So it's God's story. The other thing, it's essential for growth. Whitney talks about that. Got a couple of scriptures there. We cannot grow, and think about it, just even nourishment, food. A person, as individuals or whatever, a child, is not going to grow if they don't have adequate nutrition. They're going to be anemic and malnourished. It's the same way. We need to have a steady diet of God's word. Man does not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So we need nourishment daily. It's just like a child or, you know, a person. I mean, we need it. And there's that quote there from Spurgeon. It says, "Bear witness, children of God, you have not been able to get anything for your souls elsewhere. All the bread your soul has eaten has come down from heaven, and all the water of which it has drunk has flowed from the living rock. Christ Jesus the Lord, your soul has never grown rich in itself. It's always been dependent upon the daily bounty of God." So I think the key you really need to come away with is daily. And if you're not getting that, you have to ask yourself, why not? What's the issue? And we'll talk about some of the hindrances and challenges. We need it for ourselves, we're going to talk about it, and we need it to be able to get to other people. So we're going to start with, as far as Bible intake or whatever, is hearing God's word. And So we start with sort of preparation. And I think for a lot of us, we don't think about, we come into Sunday morning, and sometimes what happens on Sunday morning can sort of affect how we are receiving God's word and sort of posture for that. But sometimes the things that happen on Saturday night, and I think sometimes we don't think about how that's impacting. Are we getting adequate sleep? Are we preparing our hearts even on Saturday night? And I know we've had teaching on that, that I think CJ or some of the others. When I first heard that, it was like, I hadn't really thought about that a whole lot. And so sometimes you may need to think about and look at, what are you doing on Saturday night? What are you doing on Sunday morning? What do you do sort of preparing yourself to be able to come and hear God's word? God is going to address us through our pastors and teachers. Prayer time on Sunday morning, and I think Sean would attest to this. That, and Todd, for me personally, that's a huge preparer to come into the meeting. The times I go are different than if I come in and sort of come in, not necessarily rushing, but I just come in and then worship starts, and you kind of start and then you go like this. When you come out of prayer time, you kind of up here and you just, it really makes the difference. So I would encourage, as a plug for the prayer team, come and pray with us at 9:15. We need more people praying. But yeah, I think it does make us more receptive and prepare our hearts. The other thing is even coming into the meeting. I think sometimes, and this is probably debated, of you know, some churches have kind of a quiet period. You don't come in talking in the meeting, and people come in and they're very quiet and sort of prepare their hearts. And I think there's some value in that. Sometimes we sort of come in and it's casual, and other churches are more formal. So that's something I think on a personal basis you can even evaluate that. Like, you know, what about my receptivity to God's word and hearing, even on Sunday mornings? We trust in this hearing of God's word that the Holy Spirit is going to illuminate. It says in John 14 that the Holy Spirit is going to, you know, teach us all things. So we trust in that work. We prepare ourselves, posture ourselves to receive, and the Holy Spirit's going to do His work. There's some interesting statistics on reading God's word. And this is old. This book was written in 91. And so this is a statistic from 91, and you can imagine what it's like now. It's the USA Today reported a poll. This was 3 months before he wrote this book. It showed that only 11% of Americans read the Bible every day. And it goes on down. In a Barner, poll, it said among those claiming to be born-again Christians, and you've heard some of this, disclose these disheartening numbers. Only 18% read the Bible every day. This is again is in 1990. Worst of all, 23% say they never read the Word of God. So that was in, you know, the 90s. And we're talking about this process of sanctification, and if we're not exposing ourselves to God's word and allowing God's word to work in our hearts, no wonder some of the rates of whether it's divorce or some of the other things that are going on, activities that are going on among born-again Christians compared to the world, a whole lot different. It's just sad. So there are two ways in reading God's word. This is not in, this came out of some other material. It's not in Whitney's book. Just to give you an idea that we can approach it sort of informational, which I think a lot of times, especially if you're academic, you're sort of the student orientation, then you approach it kind of like this, cover as much as possible. You're kind of studying, preparing, seek to master the text, problem solving, analytical, critical, judgmental. And that's sort of the informational, scholastic approach, if you will. The other is formational. And this is going to inform some of the things we're going to be talking about later. So sometimes I think we have to think about how are we approaching God's word, and it maybe we need to change sort of our orientation toward that. Formational focuses on small portions, allows the text to master us. We're not judging text in sort of the analytical. And it says the text is a subject that shapes us and being open to mystery. So this gets into some of the meditation, contemplation type stuff. This would be more sort of the monastic sort of school, where the other would be sort of informing the mind. This would be more speaking to the heart. And that's where we really want God's word to work. The other thing is, in just reading God's word, you know, this is familiar. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Kind of like what you were talking about and what you did. You came up with a plan, prayed, asked God's help to be able to do that, and God mentioned that. So I think with all of this, you know, we have plenty of information, and you're going to get more information each week. That's not the problem. It's got to have a plan and you know, come before God, be purposeful in that. And one of the key things as far as reading God's word or having quiet times or some of the other things praying we're going to be talking about is find a time that works for you. You know, sometimes people say, well, it's better in the morning or I can only do it at night. It's like whatever works. I like the morning because it's, for me it sets the tone for the day, or it can. And then for other people, sort of reviewing the day, close of the day, it's nice if you can do it at both, sort of morning and evening. So it's whatever works. If you do both, if you can only do one. And start small, you know, small chunks. You know, don't think, well, you have to do the whole thing, or if I don't have a half an hour, then I can't do it. I think that sort of defeats us right from the beginning. But sometimes you only have 5 minutes. You start small, and you know, and you grow from that. The other thing I think in reading God's word is systematically, and in saying that, it's kind of like our diets. They need to be balanced, and we really want to read the whole counsel of God. Some books are harder to read than others, and you're like, I'm not getting anything out of this or whatever. It's just hard. But I think over time, if you do that and become disciplined in that, God's going to meet you in that. Even in the challenging books, there's stuff there. It's God's word, and he's going to speak and maybe surprise you. Now, as far as coming up with plans, some people, I think, get bogged down by just sort of jumping around, and you feel like, well, I don't know what to read next or whatever. And so sometimes having you know, a plan, a one-year plan, a two-year plan, some systematic way. Like one of the things, you know, he talked about that if you read 3 verses a day, read 5 on Sunday, you can get through the Bible in a year. You can go online. You can, you know, sometime in the back of study Bibles, some of the online Bibles. There's a plethora of plans. I mean, you can find all kinds of things. You know, you go through the Old Testament once, you go through the New Testament twice, you can get that done in a year with some of the plans. Again, I think the key is just pick something. And there is merit, and if you've never read through the whole Bible in a certain period of time, I think it's a worthy thing. I've done 1 year. I'm kind of doing a 2-year thing right now. I've slowed it down some. Because sometimes the 1 year, you feel like you really got to stay on track, and it can become, oh, wow, I'm really getting behind here. And you look and, you know, if you miss a weekend or something like that. So don't let it be something where you're laboring under it. But again, I think if you will follow one of those or adapt it, you'll get through all the books. And that way you really cover the gamut. Any questions at this point? Anybody got any, kind of take a breather a second, things that have worked for you as far as plans, going through the Bible in a year, or reading systematically, things that you found helpful? Okay. Great stories. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, yeah. Just have them get a little knees, you know, and just be in God's word.
Right.
Revelation of itself. That's a lot of value from that.
Yeah, I think that the temptation, even in hearing Sean talk about that, is if you're academically oriented, if you're a student, and I have fallen prey to this at times, is to approach it academically and sort of scholastically. And even the year thing can be that. It can be an exercise and feel like you're just kind of going through the motion. You've got to stay on track, and to the point that you're not enjoying it and you're not enjoying God. You're checking off the list and you're getting through it. And there's a discipline there, but don't let that replace that. In some sense could be more study, and then you need to have another time. Don't let that, just like what Sean's talking about with Grudem, where he was in the Word a lot. I mean, tremendous amount of time, more than any of us would be. But you could completely miss communion with God in it. So sometimes you have to keep those separate. I think it's really helpful. Don't let the study just be, okay, I've done it and checked it off and walk away and really haven't encountered God. And sometimes you have to do those at different times. Usually if you're doing a lot of reading, you've got to kind of separate, because it takes time. Especially if you're going to do some other things with, if you're going to journal or you're going to meditate, it's like, whoa, this gets to be a lot of time. So talking about studying God's Word, this is from Jerry Bridges, talking about getting depth, okay? Because, again, those kind of studies where you're kind of blasting through and you got to read 5 chapters a day or whatever, it may seem superficial, and it may be. So he says, reading gives us breadth, but study gives us depth. And so, again, there's two different things going on. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we're encouraged to be workmen who correctly handle the word of truth. Can that be, you think, achieved with just casual reading? No. You got to dig in. You got to work. It's going to require effort and investment. I appreciate this scripture from Ezra. I like Ezra's character. It says, "For Ezra had devoted himself." Pick up on the key words. He had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. So what strikes you when you read that? What things jump out? Devotion. Okay. Ben. Right. He's doing. Okay. Good. So he devoted himself to the study and observance. I think Ben said, so it wasn't just, okay, I studied this, but then I'm keeping it. I have to do something. And then what happened after that? Teaching. Okay, there's a progression there. For him to be able to teach that, the decrees and laws, he had to spend time. He had to devote himself. I think this is a great sort of model, you know, for what God can do and how he can use us, you know, as we invest in studying his word and observing. Some of you, you know, God's going to gift in teaching others. But you got to spend the time. You got to labor in his word to be able to have something to teach. And then what about the Bereans? They're familiar. What does it say about them in Acts 17? What were the Bereans known for? This is Acts 17:11. It's right there on your sheet. Anything interesting about them? Yeah. They received the message with great eagerness, and then they examined it. They just didn't, like, oh, okay, that's true. I mean, we trust our pastors and our leaders, and you read other people and you go to conferences, but we have to examine for ourselves if things line up, you know, with Scripture. So what are some of the things that can keep us from more than just casual reading of God's Word? What are some of the things that... Children. Yes. So certain seasons, we talked about it last week, certain seasons can be a real challenge to this. Right. So you're in deep study, deep thought. Mommy. Okay, so certainly distractions, noise, hurry. I mean, we talked about the culture we live in and the media, the technology. There's a lot that wars against us. How about somebody read R.C. Sproul's quote there. I thought this was pretty interesting. Do you have that? You want to read it? You're together.
I think this is last week.
Oh. Yeah. Right there. Sorry. Don't want you to miss out.
We fail in our duty to study God's Word, not so much because it's boring, but because it's work. Our problem is not a lack of intelligence or a lack of passion. Our problem is that we are
good. Whoa. Does that resonate with anybody? Why does this thing about work and effort keep coming up? What'd you say, Sean? Oh, yeah. They're not in order of... it actually was building. But. I mean, is that true? What's the difference? You could have a passion, but not act on it. I mean, it would seem kind of weird. I mean, if you're really passionate, usually people act on it. I mean, do you at times have passion for things, but you're not able to kind of follow through on it?
Here's what my worldview says. You can get this thing really. This is the big truth. Next week, as we see, I will not ask that. Basically, when I'm done, it's over. There is no more. Just wink out.
Right.
There is no afterlife.
Yeah, I think laziness, and some, you know, other people can chime in. It's just not being purposeful, not being intentional. You know what you're supposed to do. You'd rather do something else. And even if you have you're just not acting on it. Now, people who lack passion, I think that's different than, I mean, it's not an issue of laziness for them or not. They just, I'm not interested in that. But the laziness part is like, it's kind of like you know what you're supposed to do, and you even say it at times what you're supposed to do, but then you don't do it. I mean, it could be procrastination, could be a part of it. But I think the laziness is, it's just serving self, not following through. I mean, putting your own needs ahead of what, say, others or God. What do people think? Okay.
I don't want to read.
I don't want to work. He's saying what we all feel. We just don't say it. Next time you feel that way, just say it out loud. Just get it out there.
Yeah, but, out there.
But that's going to, I mean, that's our struggle. You know, with any of the things we're talking about, it's always easier to do something else that's fun or pleasurable or doesn't require as much work. Or it's just a hard issue. We got to press through. So, here's some... Oh, what, Caleb?
Why? Whatever it is that...
We are determined by how that we naturally
Instead of I just don't want to do anything, I'd rather just watch you be
too stimulus.
You know what I'm saying? Like why is it that
this happens, my brain takes it not so much. It spits out
I think a lot of the activities, I mean, for myself, some of them are passive. I don't have to do anything. But like if you're watching media, movies, TV, computer stuff, you just sit there. I mean, you don't have to think. I mean, you can think about other things, drift off, come back. It's still a, it doesn't require any effort. Reading God's Word, studying some of the other things we're talking about, it requires concentration. And the challenge sometimes is staying focused. And the same thing in prayer. It's a battle. And so sometimes you just don't want to do the battle. I don't want to do the battle. It's just, I want to veg. I want to kick back. I'm tired. It's been a long day. Yeah, it's just, it's easier. That's our default. The easy stuff, the pleasurable stuff. I mean, it's our nature. You know, we're not going to default like what you're talking about. It just, when you get saved, it doesn't all of a sudden, you know, maybe in the beginning there's this eager and, you know, the joy of our salvation. I mean, I think we all experience that and just can't get enough of God and His Word. And then over time, yes.
I think originally, before sin, it might have been our default. We're trying to walk in the cool of the day.
Right.
And we're just like wanting to be in His presence. We're like, hey, the Lord, and we're talking and we're doing
this. Oh, yeah.
That was the default. And then the same sin came. And then
we were actually corrupted.
The very next thing that, I don't know, curse or whatever, but like, man has to work for.
Oh, yeah.
So now, you know, so it's like, we're
it's
after
the,
sin.
It's the penalty.
So we're saved now by grace. But there's still work. Like, the work wasn't taken away. You know, that wasn't removed. Now that
right.
We're reborn. We used to have to work and to...
That's part of the curse.
But then also, like, there's grace and work. So, like, now, like, you know, I don't know. So, working on understanding all that. But
that's exactly right. Yes. That is exactly right. So some suggestions. We're going to finish up this section and move on. Sorry to rush. Just find a quiet place, free from kids' distractions if you can. Sorry about that. A time that works for you. Okay. And then the other thing, just put down some stuff here, Bible aids. Get a good study Bible. It's got, you know, commentary in it or, you know, Grudem Systematic Theology. It's nice to have around if you want to read on a particular subject. Commentaries. Matthew Henry's an old one that's tried and true. Crossway Classics, I've had some of those for different books. I really like those. Get you know, the concordance and some of the Bibles are fine. If you want to bump it up, get a Strong's Concordance is one of the ones that's recommended. If you want to really get into the Greek stuff, there's Vine's Greek Interlinear. You can go for that if you're really into it. Vine's, that's kind of a famous one. There's a book. I don't know if any of you have read. I've read some of it. Alex got a hold of this when he was in school. He's kind of done something to it. But it says, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. Have you heard of it? Gordon Fee and Doug Stewart. It's got all kind of stuff in it. Anyway, it's got a lot in here about exegesis. And he's got some lists in the back of different commentaries and recommendations. So that's a good resource. I don't know that we have this in our... Yeah, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. No. So that's another resource. And this is just a little thing you can do sometime. Somebody told me this a long time ago, and I do it. Taught our kids to do this. I don't know if Jessica still does it. This is easy to do when you're reading and you're not going through some big systematic thing or whatever. It's to ask of the scripture that you're reading these three questions and their variations on them. Some of you have heard this. What does this passage say about God or Jesus? It kind of depends on where you are in the Bible. And the second thing is, what does the passage mean? What's the author's intent? You got to look at the context and all that. And then the last thing, how would God have me respond? It's the application. You can do that anywhere in the Bible, and God can use that. That's real easy. It's quick. You can do it in a matter of minutes. Some assignments there. Just, again, what's something you can be doing in the coming week to really enhance your intake of God's Word, to maybe change your diet a little bit? What about memorizing God's Word? When you think about memorizing Scripture, what comes to mind? Here we go again. Okay? Can't escape it. But the key to the whole thing is, like we talked last week, not losing sight of the goal and the work. What's the reward? What's the benefit? And who are we seeking in all of this? That if we're not memorizing just to be memorizing it. There's an ultimate goal. So the benefits, and again, we're going to have to move through this because I want to get some of the stuff at the end. The benefits are providing spiritual power. Whitney talks about that in Ephesians 6, talking about sort of the Spirit really, equipping ourselves. Like when Jesus was tempted by Satan, Satan tempted him. What did he use? Every time, right back, quoted Scripture. When you find yourself in situations, something's happening, you think, oh, now what does that Scripture say about something about, you know, it's real nice if you can pull something out and you can deal with it. You can bring that thought captive. You can confront a lie, whatever. So definite advantage. Can strengthen our faith just by repeatedly, reinforcing truth that you can speak to yourself in situations, being reminded of that, or speak to someone else. Very useful during witnessing and counseling. I think probably different ones of you could attest to that, where sometimes God may even surprise you, bring to remembrance a scripture that it's like, whoa, when you share it with somebody, and it really makes a difference. I mean, they might come to Christ. It may really speak to a situation and turn things around that God, by His Spirit, uses it. It's helpful to know where things are, but you don't always have your Bible. You know, it's like, God, I wish I had my Bible. Now, where's that scripture? What was it about? It was something. It's real important. It can really make a difference. Just a means of guidance. You know, the Holy Spirit is going to guide us into all truth. So, again, if the Word's there and we're trying to sort things out or we're praying through things, you know, if God can bring those scriptures to mind, it's really, really helpful. We'll be talking about meditation. But memorization requires, you have to do a lot of reviewing. And so in doing that, it really kind of sets things up for, you have to kind of work through, chew on a word or a passage. And so it can really help that as far as in meditation. Now, as far as plans for memorizing, people, again, have all different ways of doing it. You can do note cards and carry those around. You can do notebooks. The key is you have to have some system where you're repeatedly reviewing, and Whitney talks about that in his book, because especially as you get older, things tend, if you don't see them periodically, it's just hard. They kind of start slipping away. I mean, there's scriptures I memorized when I was much younger. Those are there, and they're there, and they come back, and they're easy. They're there. The stuff I have to work on in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, it's hard. I have to keep, like, looking back over them. You can find, you know, they're online or, there are published plans for doing that. And then what about which scriptures to use? I think often it's helpful if there's one that's meant something to you or come out of a sermon or study or a particular, you know, issue dealing with a particular sin or you go through a challenging time. Those scriptures that God used where people speak to you to encourage you. those are ones like, oh, wow, I need to hang on to it. This is really helpful because it's going to only help you in the future be reminded of that, but God could use that same one for somebody else. You just never know. I mean, God does that a lot. What I've done that I found helpful, and I think I read about this somewhere, is came up with just a box, and it has a day for each day of the month and a day for each week, and then kind of odd day, even day. And so you start kind of in the front and until you get it, then it moves to the weekly, and then when you think you got it, then it goes to the monthly. So that you, within a month's time, you see at least that one once. When it's in the weekly, you're going to see it weekly, so you see it four times that month. And when you're first learning it, it's like every other day or daily. So that way you come up with some system that will have a built-in review. Again, you can carry the cards around, and maybe if you just rotate, you just got to figure out something that works for you. Anybody got something they're using or published plan or something that they found helpful? That the navigators, yeah, they're... Yeah, they're huge. They're big into that. Yeah, what's his name? Troutman, who, can he start the Navigators? Yeah, he learned, they mentioned in the book, Whitney's book, he memorized a scripture a day for 3 years while he's driving a truck. So he learned 1,000 scriptures in 3 years.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. So he can just whip it out. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's making good use of his time.
Then it'll come to here and they'll say, like, I haven't flipped through the whole thing in a while. Like, I'll always start thinking right now. It's not enough time. So then he found it. Like what you were talking about.
Right.
He needs to start in the middle or something.
Yeah.
If you just have a note card, she'll start speaking in the time and get to the sky. So that one was cool. Week in the month.
Yeah, and it just... Again, it's a system, and you come up with that. I've seen some people, you know, they'll post cards around their houses, or they'll have a set in the car. I mean, I was thinking of Sean, with you traveling. I mean, there people, depending on your job situation, what you're doing. I mean, there's time, whether it's listening to scripture, doing memory card, whatever. Okay. And it can't, well, there is a visible reminder, like, oh, yeah, yeah. Right. You're keeping it visible. That's good. That's the key, is just whatever works. And what's the goal, Whitney talks about? Godliness. Again, that's not lose sight of that when we're doing this. And encountering God in the midst of that. Let's go about meditating. There's a misspell in that quote. I didn't catch it last time, but I caught it this time. About mediation. It's like, wait a minute. So anyway, people were kind last time. It didn't correct me. He, Jesus, showed us that the surest road to wisdom isn't speculation, reasoning, or reading human books, but meditation on the Word of God. And when you think of meditation, what comes to mind? Yeah. Can Christians meditate? Yeah, you tend to think of yoga and Eastern mysticism, meditation, and that's certainly there, and it's a big part of what they practice. And here's a definition that Whitney offered as far as from a Christian perspective. That meditation is deep thinking on the truths and spiritual realities revealed in Scripture for the purpose of understanding, application, and prayer. So we're thinking about truths, spiritual realities revealed in Scripture, and the purpose, again, would be to understand, apply that word, and pray. When we meditate on God's word, we're inviting Christ to be formed in us. think it's a little kind of mystical. Meditation is a spiritual work of holy desire. Okay. And an interior invitation for the Spirit to pray and speak within us in such a way that our whole being is transformed to the greater conformity of Christ. And that's sort of the Romans 8, 26, 27, sort of the Spirit praying, crying out. So it's really a deep sort of inner work. And these are just some comparisons between Christian and Eastern meditation. When you think of Eastern, sort of the emptying of the mind, passivity, this visualization stuff that they talk about, ours would be more filling. I mean, it's an active kind of process. Can you hear me? And involves prayer. I know, it's like, that's right. We're going to try and meditate here any minute. So. It's probably time to read something. Okay, here's Whitney's example. Let me read it because I can't do justice to it. He uses the analogy of a cup of tea, thinking about meditation. He says, you are the cup of hot water, and the intake of Scripture is represented by the tea bag. Okay? You got this tea bag you're going to immerse. Hearing God's word is like one dip of the tea bag into the cup. So you hear God's word. You get a little dip. Okay? Some of the tea's flavor absorbed by the water, but not as much as would occur with a more thorough soaking of the bag. Okay? In this analogy, reading, studying, and memorizing God's word are represented by additional plunges of the tea bag into the cup. So you get a little more. Further you kind of go along with it. The more frequently the tea enters the water, the more effect it has, more flavor, it's richer. Meditation, however, is like immersing the bag completely and letting it steep until all the rich tea flavor has been extracted and the hot water is thoroughly tinctured reddish brown. So you just plop it in there and it's takes time. You got to spend time doing this. This is something. It's like you're not going to do like running off to work. This is another time. We'll talk about some of the context in which meditation could be useful. So, what are the benefits? Whitney talks about promise of success. That's from Joshua 1:8, where he says, "Meditate on it day and night," talking about the book of the law. So that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you'll be prosperous and successful. And then a promise of fruitfulness is from Psalm 1. That's a familiar scripture. Do you want to read that, Ben, or you're... he was moving. Has anybody got that? You want to read Psalm 1, read real loud? Floyd, have you got it? You're right in the middle. You got a loud voice. Yeah. Psalm 1, 1, 2, 3.
Does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, but sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields in fruit in his season, and his fruit was not withered. Whatsoever he does prospers.
That's a great promise. I mean, it's a wonderful. I mean, the contrast between a person who does all those things versus one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. I mean, he is immersed in God's word. And then there's the promise of fruitfulness and prosperity, success. Right. Exactly. So. Oh yeah. It's a wonderful promise. So again, take advantage of that. From Psalm 119, talks about gaining wisdom from meditating. That would make sense. And as far as the, this is sort of methodology here. And you can work through this. There's going to be an exercise I'm going to give you to do, so you can apply some of this and you can tell me how it worked out next week. I'm going to give you a passage to do, but when you're doing this on your own, you're going to pick out some passages. And again, it may be one that's familiar, one that's been useful. Maybe God's, you know, using it in your life right now, and you want to spend more time. And what's suggested is repeat it in different ways so that you, and Whitney talks about how to do that in his book. Rewriting it sometimes can be helpful. When you repeat it different ways, you're sort of emphasizing different words in the passage. And so things start to kind of jump out at you. Praying through it, asking God to kind of reveal things to you. Look for application. You know, again, what is God trying to teach me in this? Or how would he have me respond to this? And I think the key here is this idea of slowing down and reading less. If you're trying to do one of the year things, you're going to be in a hurry. This, you just have to kind of pull away, you know, and just take time. And it may be something you could do in one sitting, or you might do over a week. You just want to spend time there. You don't want to, it's not something you want to hurry through. And if I've included, this is not in Whitney's book. This came out of, there's a book by Ken Boa. Some of you may know him. It's called A Journal of Sacred Readings. And one of the last thing that you got is actually a sample out of here. And he's got a number of scriptures in here. And what he talks about, this practice of sacred reading, this is sort of getting into more of the mystical part of Christianity. He's talking about the ancient art of sacred reading, dates back to the 5th century. And there's this progression where you read, meditate, pray, and then there's contemplation. And it's really done as an exercise. And again, this would even take more time than just meditating. This is more involvement, going even deeper. And it can be a real challenge to practice this again because we're so busy and we're so distracted or whatever. This is something you have to really pull away. I mean, you need to have guarded, protected time if you're going to do this. It's not, again, for sort of casual activity. Where I found this really helpful, and if you take a look at that little exercise, does anybody have one? I think I gave away mine. Oh no, I've still got my original. Yeah, it's actually Psalm 1:1-3. Want to reinforce that again? This is what it looks like. This is a page out of this book. And if you look at it, again, it talks about reading the scripture, meditating on it, tells you how to do that, praying, and then the contemplation part, and then spending time with the Lord after you've done that. Where I found these really helpful are like on retreats, because you've got plenty of time. Times that Suzanne and I have done, and I'll talk about retreats probably in the later sections, where we've done these independently and then come back together to talk about it, like what did God show you and what did he reveal as we work through it. So what I would encourage you to do, I don't know what your schedule's like this week, but we're going to be talking about prayer next week. If you have time and can pull away, get some protected time. If you need your spouse to help you with, you know, protecting you, try this. And I would be interested in hearing for a couple of people what happened. Did God show you something? Did he teach you something? Yes.
I was wondering what you mean by present yourself before God in silence and yielded.
Isn't that an interesting word? Yeah, it's just, I mean, the posture would be you want to receive. You're not, I mean, you've been doing your study, you're writing all this stuff down, and often I think it's kind of like, okay, we're coming to God with what we think and what we've learned, and I've got my stuff written down here, kind of the student coming to the teacher, and now it's time just to sit and listen. Kind of, you know, we talked about Mary sitting at the Master's feet and receive from him. And it's kind of like, what impressions do you get? You know, is God speaking to me about something? Because you know, you may be working through and think, oh, I think this is the most important thing, or this is what this is about. And while you're sitting there kind of thinking about things, consider all of a sudden it may be, oh, that's a little different. Or either he wants to apply it to something. Like, trust him in that. So anyway, try it. Yeah, we're out of time too. The last thing is about applying God's word. Lighter information there from James about being doers. You know that. Here, I wanted to plug journaling. Journaling it has a lot of benefits. And some of you probably are currently journaling, or you have, and then maybe some of you haven't. I've tended to journal in certain situations or certain seasons. I'm journaling again right now. I wasn't for a time for a few months. But anyway, so it's, again, the kind of thing, it can be tremendous benefit. And just got some of these things down. One is, you know, what kind of things to journal. It can be during a certain season, a trial or challenging time. Or it can be, I need to do this as a discipline to you know, inside, especially during this course right now, it might be a good time to journal. Like, what's God teaching you? What's He moving you toward each week? You're gaining insights from Scripture. It talks about maybe in your devotion, jotting some of that stuff down. When you're meditating, okay, what came out of that? You know, I've journaled like on mission trips. Those are really helpful to be able. It's kind of a record of what God is doing, and I think that's one thing it provides. It talks about some of the benefits. One, personal insights and evaluation. You have something you kind of measure against. It can certainly help in meditating. Getting your thoughts down, kind of what you're talking about, instead of just kind of thinking these things or writing them on there, you know, write it in a journal. And this is really important. Helping remembering the Lord's work, to be able to go back, kind of Ebenezer's of God's activity, of His faithfulness. And to read those, like, wow, it just builds faith. And it's encouraging at times, especially if you're going through a tough time and you kind of forget, you know, God met me another time and He carried me through that and He was faithful. It's like, oh, wow. And you wrote down these things, you had scriptures, and it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's part of the help in creating, preserving a spiritual heritage. It's something you can actually pass on to your children. There are many famous journals that people have benefited from. Monitoring goals and priorities. So, you know, you kind of record some things. These are some goals. This is kind of my plan. And then just otherwise, it's like, what was that I said I was going to do? And what was that my intent? So it can be helpful for that. Yeah.
You may not know, because we don't know even our the thoughts of our heart. So when you start writing, and all of a sudden you look down like, oh, you know, that's
for
me. Oh.
Yes. That
can. It's out on paper and now it's visible.
Exactly. So, anyway, I would definitely encourage you to start doing that. And whatever works best for you, have whatever kind of journal or when or, you know, whatever way. Again, use the way that works best for you. And it's like one person said, and raise up a monument of God's faithfulness in your life. It's just, again, a record of, not only builds your faith, but can encourage others. So one of the assignments this week, in this part, would be, what specific steps can you take to incorporate meditation, memorization, as well as journaling? Don't get overwhelmed and think, oh, I got to do all this stuff by next week. I would, you know, do the exercise if you have time. I think that'll be interesting. And then consider some of these other things, you know, if there's some way you can incorporate that. Again, depending on your season, your situation, what will work. I have one other thing I'm going to close with, because we have... sorry this is so much and so rushed, but the next one will be on prayer, then we'll have a break for a week, then we'll do fasting, and then silence and solitude will be at the end. So the rest of them won't be as hurried, I guess. So this is from Valley of Vision. It's just the last part of a prayer about spiritual growth, and so I'll just we'll part on this. May this be our prayer. Help me to carry into ordinary life portions of divine truth and use them on suitable occasions so that its doctrines may inform, its warnings caution, its rules guide, its promises comfort me. Amen. Okay, any questions, thoughts? Yes. Right. Right.
There's so many other things around us that give us really
quick. Right. I think you're right. We're into the instant, quick, whatever. That's our default. Right. It's a battle. Right. That's really helpful to remember. I think times where the laziness and the things that were in our flesh, sometimes those are a little easier to see and you can identify. But sometimes there can be, and you may experience this whether it's in prayer time or devotional time, it just seems like things aren't going right, or this happens, or weird stuff, you know, and you don't get to it because something broke, or this, you know, you had to deal with something. You know, there is an enemy of our soul that's at work, and so we need to recognize that it's not just a battle with our flesh and weakness there, dealing with laziness and selfishness and pleasure seeking, whatever, but anything he can do to keep us from, especially some of these more involved, deeper. I mean, if he can just keep us superficial reading and checking our list off, kind of like Screwtape Letter type, it's like, and we think we're okay and everything's fine, he's going,
you're great.
Then he's not going to, I mean, he doesn't have to do anything to us. But when we start digging deeper and you start doing some of these more, these exercises that require sacrifice, you got to give up something, you got to die to certain things, you got to say no to certain things and yes to God, then that's going to get his attention. So thanks for mentioning that. So be alert, be vigilant, for our enemy is a roaring lion going about seeking who he can devour. Anyway, thanks for your attention. Okay.